This is KUT 90.5. I'm Nathan Bernier. What is a sanctuary city? That's a matter of contentious debate right now, not just in the Texas legislature, where a bill to punish sanctuary jurisdictions will be debated tomorrow on the House floor, but it's also a question across the country. So Austin's mayor, Steve Adler, traveled to Washington, D.C. this week to try and get an answer from the Trump administration about what the federal government considers to be a sanctuary city or sanctuary jurisdiction. Adler met yesterday with the acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Today, he met with U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and Mayor Adler says he now has more clarity about what the federal government considers to be a sanctuary city. And he says the way the attorney general explained it to him, Austin and Travis County would not qualify as sanctuary jurisdictions.
So a sanctuary city, as described by both the acting director and the attorney general, would be a city that was willingly violating 8 U.S.C. 1373. That's a real important answer to that question. Because as you recall, the president's executive order back in January identified a sanctionable city as a city that was violating federal law. It specifically spoke to 8 U.S.C. 1373, but it didn't necessarily limit itself to 1373. And then beyond that, it also gave the secretary and the attorney general the discretion to also include cities that prevented or hindered the enforcement of federal law. So what was unclear was whether a city or a county could be sanctionable, even though they didn't violate federal law or 8 U.S.C. 1373, but were somehow or another otherwise determined to prevent or hinder enforcement of federal law. What we got, both the meeting yesterday and the meeting today, was a more narrow definition of what would constitute a sanctionable city. Again, that being just a city that was violating 8 U.S.C. 1373.
We should say 8 U.S.C. 1373 deals specifically with information sharing between the federal government and other government agencies. We're going to have more on that in a moment. But for now, in the eyes of the federal government and U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, we are not sanctionable. We are not sanctuary city or county.
That is my understanding, because we don't violate 8 U.S.C. 1373. Specifically asked the question, would a city that was not honoring voluntary detainers be a city that was sanctionable under the president's executive order directed at sanctuary cities? And I was told no. In the documents that were filed last Friday associated with the nine cities and counties and states that were identified as sanctionable cities, it specifically says that complying with a warrantless detainer was a voluntary program. So not participating in the voluntary program, one, is it a violation of federal law because it was recognized as being just a request. And beyond that, 8 U.S.C. 1373 is a statute that concerns communications. It has nothing to do with detainers. So I asked that question specifically to the Attorney General.
And so you must feel very reassured by this then.
Well, I think it's important. We want to get to the place where we actually get, you know, this understanding reduced to writing. I was told to take a look at the federal filing that the federal government just has very recently made in the Richmond case, where they say that they've taken the position in court consistent with what we were being told, and that is a sanctionable city is a city that was willingly violating that particular statute. I haven't seen that yet. The Associate Attorney General is sending it to me.
What are some of the broader implications of this for the city of Austin or Travis County?
That you don't violate 8 U.S.C. 1373 if you're not honoring voluntary detainer requests. You're not violating 8 U.S.C. 1373 if your local police don't participate in ICE raids or ICE suites. You're not a sanctionable city and not violating 8 U.S.C. 1373 if your police doesn't ask someone's immigration status, if it's not relevant to a crime being investigated. Now, there are also still some uncertain areas associated with this, where, frankly, we were told that they had yet to make a determination. I'll give you an example. If someone is in jail and they're about to be released, but they are not subject to a detainer request or a warrant, does the sheriff have an affirmative duty to call ICE to say, hey, we're about to let this person go. Do you want to come over with a detainer request? They're still formulating their policy on that. But my sense was is that they were leaning in that case as well to say that not making that affirmative phone call is not a violation of 8 U.S.C. 1373.
Okay.
Although they're still looking at that.
Where does that leave the state legislature then and the Sanctuary Cities Bill? The purpose, the stated purpose of Senate Bill 4 is to require that jurisdictions such as Travis County, quote unquote, comply with federal law. Now, if the federal government is out there saying, oh, you guys are good, you're in full compliance, where does that leave the state legislature?
Going way beyond federal law. And we were the ones that said that, and I'm not sure that people believed us when we said that, but I believe we received confirmation of that today from the Attorney General.
Austin Mayor Steve Adler joining us from Washington, D.C. to explain his conversation with federal officials, including Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Mayor Adler, thanks for your time.
All right, Nathan, take care.
We asked the U.S. Justice Department to comment on this. They issued a statement not denying what Mayor Adler said, but clarifying that Attorney General Sessions did not offer his legal opinion on which jurisdictions qualify as sanctuary cities and which do not. And the crux of that, as Adler mentioned several times, is 8 U.S.C. 1373. It's part of the U.S. government code. So for a greater understanding of the story, we now present you with a dramatic reading of 8 U.S.C. 1373. This is really, really, really dry, kind of hard to follow, but it's worth understanding to have a better picture of this debate.
This is Stephanie Federico, digital editor at KUT. Are we recording?
We're rolling.
8 U.S.C. 1373, communication between government agencies and the Immigration and Naturalization Service. A, in general, notwithstanding any other provision of federal, state, or local law, a federal, state, or local government entity or official may not prohibit or in any way restrict any government entity or official from sending to or receiving from the Immigration and Naturalization Service information regarding the citizenship or immigration status, lawful or unlawful, of any individual.
So just to clarify, this code is saying government officials can't stop the federal government from getting information about the immigration status of a person. Carry on.
B. Additional authority or government entities. Notwithstanding any other provision of federal, state, or local law, no person or agency may prohibit or in any way restrict a federal, state, or local government entity from doing any of the following with respect to information regarding the immigration status, lawful or unlawful, of any individual. 1. Sending such information to or requesting or receiving such information from the Immigration and Naturalization Service. 2. Maintaining such information. 3. Exchanging such information with any other federal, state, or local government entity.
So they're saying those are the things you can't prohibit government agencies from doing.
Right.
Keep going.
Keep going. C. Obligation to respond to inquiries. The Immigration and Naturalization Service shall respond to an inquiry by a federal, state, or local government agency seeking to verify or ascertain the citizenship or immigration status of any individual within the jurisdiction of the agency for any purpose authorized by law by providing the requested verification or status information.
And again, it's all about information sharing.
It's exhausting. Did you get it?
Thank you, Stephanie.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.